Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic has made clear it will not file a lawsuit over German road toll legislation. Debt is a concern for around two-thirds of Czechs, according to a new survey. And the head of state will meet with the nominee for the post of finance minister on Tuesday. The Czech Republic will not file a lawsuit over German road toll legislation, although it might revisit the issue if another country were to file a suit. The news was confirmed by the government's spokesman Martin Ayrer on Monday. The European Commission, which launched infringement proceedings against Germany over its road charging system, later said the toll system was in line with EU legislation. The Commission ended proceedings last week. Taking into account the decision, Transport Minister Dan Ťok recommended that the Czech Republic not lodge a suit against Germany. Critics say tolls in the country will in reality only be paid by foreign drivers, as owners of cars registered in Germany will see their car tax proportionately reduced. Around two-thirds of Czechs believe the country's public debt is too high, and just over 70% believe that individual indebtedness is a major problem. This according to a survey by the CVVM agency. The figure for concern about public debt continues its slide from 2013, the agency commented. Czech public debt to the end of March stood at 1.79 trillion crowns, the equivalent of around $75 billion. The total debt burden of Czech citizens comes into 1.45 trillion crowns. Despite the fears, the Czech public debt to GDP ratio is one of the lowest in Europe. President Miloš Zeman will meet with ANO party nominee for the post of finance minister Ivan Pilný at Prague Castle on Tuesday afternoon, the president's spokesman Jiří Ovčáček confirmed. Mr. Pilný is due to replace embattled ANO head Andrej Babiš in the post, quelling a government crisis which has continued for weeks. The prime minister sought Mr. Babiš's resignation after the finance minister failed to satisfactorily explain questionable financial dealings. In other news, the city of Prague will not raise the fee of the annual transport pass from the current 3,650 crowns. The decision is to be confirmed by Prague councillors on Tuesday. The city's transport authority lowered the price of the annual coupon in 2015. It used to cost 4,750 crowns. Revenues from the card last year amounted to 2.21 billion crowns and 2.2 the year before. In sport, in hockey, Liberec defenseman Radim Šimek has signed a one-year contract with the San Jose Sharks, according to the website esport.cz. His NHL salary will amount to $830,000. Šimek got offers from other teams, including the New York Rangers, but according to his agent, Petr Hemsky, the Sharks had offered the most flexible contract. Another Czech currently plays for the San Jose Sharks, and that is forward Tomáš Hertl. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, France and Belgium commemorate Czechoslovak soldiers who lost their lives in the siege of Dunkirk. A battle breaks out over broadcasting frequency. We have a roundup of the latest sports news, and later on in the program we'll talk about Miroslav Šašek, a Czech emigre illustrator who is now receiving recognition at home. All that coming up, so please stay with us. War veterans, diplomats and members of the public gathered in the French port of Dunkirk and the Belgian town of Depan over the weekend to pay homage to the soldiers who lost their lives in the heroic siege of Dunkirk and the liberation of the French-Belgian border areas. Among the heroes of Dunkirk are members of the 1st Czechoslovak Independent Armoured Brigade, which, although heavily outnumbered, fought to contain German units within the fortress up until their surrender in May 1945. Daniela Lazarová has more. The 1st Czechoslovak Independent Armoured Brigade, under the command of Major General Alois Liška, was a unit of Czechoslovak expats organised and equipped by the United Kingdom. The brigade, formed in 1943, trained in the United Kingdom until the summer of 1944, when, with some 4,000 troops under Liška's command, it moved to Normandy and advanced to the besieged German-held fortress of Dunkirk. It was given the task of keeping the approximately 12,000 German troops in the port. Major General Liška was named head of the Dunkirk forces, and for 7 months the Czechoslovak brigade, together with British, Canadian and French units, fought valiantly to fulfil this mission, alternately attacking and being attacked by the German garrison, until Germany's unconditional surrender on May 9th of 1945. A plaque unveiled at a commemorative ceremony in Dunkirk on Sunday recalls the brigade's heroic struggle, in which 200 Czechoslovak soldiers lost their lives. Among those present at the ceremony were surviving war veterans from the Dunkirk siege, Czech Ambassador to France Petr Drulák and Chief of the General Staff of the Czech Armed Forces Josef Bečvář. The municipality of Depane, with the village of Adinkerque in the westernmost part of Belgium, also paid homage to Czechoslovak troops who lost their lives in the liberation efforts in the last days of the war. 40 of them are buried at the local cemetery. The town's deputy mayor, Christophe Del Rive, says the annual procession and commemorative ceremony have a special significance.
It's a long tradition that we keep here in Depane, because it's more than 70 years that Depane has been liberated by the Czechoslovakian armies from the Germans. And we find it very important to know and to let know to the younger people here in Depane that so many of them lost their lives here and are still buried here in our city of Depane, Adinkerque.
Jaroslav Kurfirs, the Czech Republic's ambassador to Belgium, thanked the town's representatives for keeping the lessons of history alive.
The graves of our fallen soldiers are the memorials of heroes, but also the strongest imperative and warning addressed to us and the generations to come. The freedom has to be defended against any dictatorship, be it Nazism or communism, against any effort to redraw the maps by force or undermine democracy. Today, Czechia and Slovakia, together with Belgium and other democracies, are proud members of strong defensive community, North Atlantic Alliance, and proud members of the European Union. Both organizations were born to prevent the repetition of the horrors of the war, and we need to stay united behind the common, peaceful, respectful and democratic values. As poppy blossoms in Flanders field, let us think about our fallen soldiers, and let us think about the ultimate sacrifice. Let's remember the simple but vitally important truth. It is always more simple to lose the freedom than fight it back.
Jaroslav Kurfirst, the Czech Republic's ambassador to Belgium, ending that report by Daniela Lazarová. An angry war of words has broken out over government plans to pave the way for a new frequency for terrestrial TV broadcasters as part of moves to free up space for mobile data to be transmitted around the world. Satellite companies say the government move is a massive multi-billion crown giveaway, with the country threatened by costly international arbitration proceedings. Chris Johnston has the details.
Full-page adverts in the Czech national press over the last days have warned Czech citizens that they and the country stand to be victims of a new telecommunications law being prepared by the government. The ads warn that citizens will have to fork out up to 5 billion crowns buying new television sets and set-top boxes. In addition, the new frequencies that will be handed over free of charge to the biggest Czech private frequency provider, České Radio Komunikace, and a smaller provider until 2030, could have a commercial value of around 11 billion crowns if they were auctioned off. The ads were paid for by the Czech Association for Satellite Operators, with a view to the third and final reading in the lower house of parliament on Wednesday of a new telecommunications law, part of which is aimed at freeing up the 700 millihertz band. Patrick Brom is secretary of the Satellite Association.
What we are saying is that basically this unlawful state aid and the benefits that the government is going to provide to those two companies are discriminatory. Basically, they are breaching EU competition laws, and as a result, they are damaging us, meaning satellite operators, but not only us, also the other sort of alternative operators like cable TV or IPTV operators.
Brom says the association is already communicating with Brussels about its worries, but is also ready to launch an international court case against the Czech government if need be. The frequency band in question is now used mainly for TV broadcasting and is described by the European Commission as a sweet spot for wide coverage and high speeds. It is being reallocated with a view to the expected eightfold increase in mobile internet traffic by 2020. That should be the focus for the so-called 5G high-capacity digital market. Spectrum a bit lower down will be reserved for television broadcasts. The European Commission is coordinating the transfer and wants national plans for how it will be conducted submitted by the end of June. The campaign by the satellite companies has been denounced as misleading and full of lies by the Czech Prime Minister, Bohuslav Sobotka, and the Ministry of Industry, which is responsible for the proposed new law. They say the frequency allocation is a win-win situation for everyone and accuse the satellite companies of trying to tilt the competitive environment in their own favour. The ministry adds that its plans mean that most of the Czech population, including those at risk in areas such as South and West Bohemia, will be guaranteed access to terrestrial television in the future.
Chris Johnston with that report. And now I'm joined in the studio by Ian Willoughby, who's got a summary of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with football, and the Czech top flight is set for a dramatic season climax, with two teams still vying for the championship with only one round to go. Slavia Prague are in pole position after a 2-1 away win over Mladá Boleslav at the weekend left them 2 points in front. Their only challengers for the title are current holders Viktoria Plzeň. They kept themselves in contention and spoiled what would have been a party at Slavia with a 90th minute strike to beat Brno 1-0. Speaking after Slavia's game against Boleslav, the club's manager Jaroslav Šilhavý said news of the late twist in the Plzeň game had left his players deflated. I've come from a dressing room where it doesn't look like we've just won a game. We're all crestfallen, even though we should be rejoicing. Some of the guys were already celebrating when the news about Plzeň came through, so we calmed down. But I have to thank the players. We have to hope going into the final game. It'll be in front of our home fans, even though it'll be at Strahov. We need to manage it and take the final step. All the games in the final 30th round of the season will take place simultaneously next Saturday evening. Slavia are set to take on Brno and Plzeň will welcome Jihlava. One club where the corks have already popped is Bohemians 1905. The Prague side avoided relegation at the weekend with a 2-0 home victory over Karviná. Bohemians' Martin Hašek Jr., whose father is the club's manager, said they'd been satisfied with the 2-goal advantage. We aren't in the kind of shape to beat everybody 4-0. We focused on defending and tried to launch counterattacks. If you look at the table, it's clear that we're not a high-scoring team. That's one area where probably, no, definitely, we could have done better. Meanwhile, Hradec Králové and Příbram have both been relegated from the First Division. Off the field, there was tragedy in Czech football at the weekend with the news that David Bystroň had committed suicide at the age of 34. His former Viktoria Plzeň teammate, František Rajtoral, killed himself only last month. Ice hockey and the Czech Republic remain sixth in the rankings of the IIHF. The Czechs came seventh in the Sports World Championships in France and Germany after being beaten 3-0 by Russia in the first knockout round last Thursday. And finally, the Czech 400 metres hurdle star Zuzana Hejnová has ceased working with German trainer Falk Balzer after 6 months. The two-time world champion will now prepare under Dana Jandová, who was her coach when Hejnová was a teenager. That's all the sports news for today.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. The Czech illustrator Miroslav Šašek produced delightful and evocative books that introduced generations of children to some of the world's great cities and countries. The fact he spent most of his life in exile has meant that his renown is perhaps greater internationally than in his native country, but in recent years that has finally been changing. Ian Willoughby has more.
An extensive exhibition now on at Prague's Villa Pelé has put a fresh spotlight on the work of Miroslav Šašek, regarded by many as one of the greatest ever Czech illustrators. Juraj Horvat is curator of the current exhibition, the largest held to date in the artist's native country.
Šašek is one of the three most famous Czech illustrators in the world. When I meet somebody in Bologna on a book fair, they know three illustrators from Czech Republic: Trnka, Květa Pacovská, and Miroslav Šašek.
The Prague-born Šašek, a trained architect, went into exile in 1948 when the communists came to power in Czechoslovakia. In the 1950s, he worked at Radio Free Europe in Munich as a journalist and presenter, before eventually devoting himself fully to art. He's most closely associated with a series of illustrated children's books about cities and countries under the title This Is London, This Is New York, and so on. Professor Martin Salisbury of Cambridge University is an expert on children's book illustration and co-authored This Is M. Šašek. He says that though the artist himself was little known to the public, his work was a common sight in Western bookstores.
The books were extremely well known. They were everywhere. And you would just see the name on the cover, Šašek, which of course over here we all would pronounce Šašek. Probably in the 1950s and 60s, I think a name like that, Šašek, would sound quite alien, and people probably didn't really know whether it was an author or illustrator or even publisher. It was just a very familiar sight in bookshops generally.
In all, there were 18 This Is titles. Professor Salisbury points out that Šašek did do other work, but believes the children's travel books are his crowning glory.
It's something that he's just perfected, to descend on a city or a country for a few weeks and make lots and lots of drawings and paintings in the hotel room. It's that relationship between direct observation and imagination and just bringing them together, having that eye for everyday anecdotal detail and what it is that makes a place, he was a genius at.
The first This Is book was This Is Paris, issued in 1958. Exhibition curator Juraj Horvat says Šašek had his own favourites among the series and that his style developed over the years.
He personally loved the work on the Rome. It's natural because Rome is a beautiful city, and still same when you see here on the exhibition the Rome collection. It's still same Rome. So on the beginning, it's beautiful. Rome, Paris, New York. And then what is very interesting is Hong Kong. I think for him it was a new chance to work with a different palette of colors, with a different aesthetics. It's more based on colors, it's more typographic, and of course this exotism in this era, it was something for Šašek.
The illustrator's work instantly strikes the beholder as dating from the period around the 1960s. So I was curious to hear Horvath's opinion as to whether it was simply of its era or bore evidence of a style particular to the artist.
It's based in the era between the wars. It's same like Saul Steinberg or the style of the many of the illustrators of the late 50s and early 60s. But what's happened after war. This like a touch of the modernism, of the caricature, of the like a free hand change, because they turned to more like a colorful, more free expression. So they include the collage, they include the touch of the film, animated film, of course, and in Šašek works you can see like the influence of new wave films, for example. You can see on this exhibition too how it looks between the wars, his work, because it was more under the influence of the like a typical Czech Trnka illustration, and what's happened after war. After war, he's more a simple and bad word modern, but it's true. It's far of the fairy tales and close to the like a dynamism of the modern cities.
Professor Martin Salisbury offers his take on where Šašek's work belongs in the context of his time.
It's very much of its time in terms of the kind of language of advertising and poster design from the 1940s and 50s over in the West. It would be people like Abram Games, Lewitt Him, poster designers and book illustrators. They were two guys, George Him and Jan Lewitt, who I think were refugees from Poland, and they formed a design team. But it's hard to say who influenced whom, really. You know, there's that kind of zeitgeist or visual climate out there. I'm sure a lot of others were influenced by Šašek himself, because, you know, it was a very original stylistic language, I think.
Olga Černá is also a co-author of This Is M. Šašek. The artist was her great-uncle, though she never had the chance to meet him prior to his death in 1980 in Switzerland, which he was visiting from his home in Paris.
We had his books at home in English and German. I enjoyed looking through them as a child, even though I couldn't understand them. I remember he was spoken about as being a wonderful person. Everybody in the family liked him a lot, and we thought it was a pity that the books hadn't come out in Czech.
Naturally, Šašek's Western-produced books were never published in communist Czechoslovakia. But despite his international reputation, it's only been in the last few years that they've finally been coming out in the illustrator's native country. Olga Černá continues.
After 1989, we as a family offered the books to Czech publishers, but surprisingly they weren't interested at all. We thought the Šašek era was over. But after the year 2000, there was a revival with the books coming out in English and French. Then, by chance, I got to meet some people from the Baobab publishing house. They knew Šašek and eventually translated the book into Czech, and now they are coming out in Czech. Baobab are known for their putting a lot of care into their books, which Šašek deserves. Maybe if the books had come out in the 1990s, they wouldn't be of such high quality.
Šašek's great-niece says it's been hugely gratifying to see his books find a whole new audience in today's Czech Republic.
I have heard from parents that they read the books to their children and then the kids want to visit the cities. The reactions are positive. My impression is that's because Šašek managed to capture the essence of those cities. Of course, many things have changed over those 40 or 50 years, but they are things that don't really influence the atmosphere of a city. For children, it's interesting to look for the differences between then and now.
Olga Černá and the Miroslav Šašek exhibition runs at Prague's Villa Pele near Hradčanská metro station until the 7th of July.
That report by Ian Willoughby brings us to the end of our programme here on Radio Prague. Just a reminder that all our programmes are available online at radio.cz, and you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can easily get in touch. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 120 99, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková, and all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.